How are you lining up with God's word? Have we submitted our minds to God, to the things God tells us to do through his word? Are we allowing God to teach us, to be open to him? As we are open to him, as we listen, as we respond, faith increases. And our minds are renewed. Never get hold of that. Our minds are being renewed. And it's something, because it's so easy we can turn back on the negative. No, kick the negative out. Kick the doubt out. Our minds are being removed. Not removed, renewed. Yes. Yeah. Well, John's just said we want him back. I don't know. Do we want the old mind back? Do we want the mind that's actually submitting to, you know, what God says? We submit to our mind and we say, well, I'm going to be in control here. Because as we said last week, you know, as we put our mind, the mind of man, and put God's thing into the mind of man, we start scrutinizing the things. That's the way to unbelief. I don't believe it. That's what we're coming with. Or it becomes with rebellion. I'm not doing that. Or it becomes religion, where we follow a set of rules and we just go along rote fashion. This happens now, that happens next. And so we go, well, I hope you've realized we don't have a set program here. And we're not going to have one. When God says we have the mind of Christ, do you receive it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2. And he tells us that we've got the mind of Christ, but I just want to read a little bit around that. And it's headed spiritual wisdom. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. God's revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. We might know the things that have been freely given to us. God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, is inside of us. Holy Spirit should be in charge of us. We should be submitted to Holy Spirit and what he prompts us to do and what he's telling us to do. And the Holy Spirit is revealing the mysteries of God. There's so many mysteries in here. Things that are foolishness to the world. Things that people of the world do not understand and cannot understand. God said they're hidden for his kids. It's for us to be able to look at them. We've been asking, can I have that declaration up, please, the first one? We've been asking to see and to hear. And I want us to repeat it. There's nothing wrong in repetition until we get to the place where we've actually received what we're asking for. So I want us to declare this. Father, I receive right now the infilling of Holy Spirit. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, open my spiritual eyes that I may see and recognize what you are doing. Open my spiritual ears that I might hear what you are saying. Come and heal and activate my receptors that I might receive from you in these days all that you have for me. Amen. So it's eyes open, ears open, hearts responsive. You know, isn't God good that we've made? There's a grouping of things that all come together, that all need to be functioning. All of our minds, all of our senses, but the spiritual senses as well. You know, the spiritual senses, God wants to open them up to get them activated. You know, we may think that we see, but what did Paul say? We see in part. Yeah, well, I want to see fully. Now then, before we say that, that might be a bit, to see fully into the demonic realm might not be very nice what you see. But what we see there, we can deal with and shift it. So let's not get frightened. You know, God's going to reveal things, glorious things, wonderful things to us. God's opening up new dimensions. The unseen kingdom. God's kingdom in the spiritual realm. The spiritual kingdom, the spiritual world is greater, more real than where we are. And we're told we should be reaching out and getting hold. To see and to hear like Jesus. Is that arrogant? Is that impossible? No. Christ in us. He's in us so he can guide us. He can show us what's happening. We can hear from him. The mysteries of God are hidden for us. And they're hidden from the world. But revealed to the believers. We have to believe that God wants to show us. And he will show us. He's showing us now the mysteries of God, the kingdom secrets. Well, it's only a secret if it's kept, nobody knows. Yeah, but he wants us to know. He wants family to know the secrets of the household, for us to know the secrets. God wants to teach us. Holy Spirit is teaching us the spiritual things and given us insight of what we are going to experience. Some things just come upon us and we go, whoa, we've got to go with that. Other things God introduces to us gently because he knows we've got to cope with them. We've got to move on. We've got to grow in them. So some things will be revealed. And we say, we get it in embryo and we've got to grow it. And we mature. And we develop, we strengthen. Faith deepens as we move on in the things of God. He doesn't expect us to be wonder-working miracle supermen straight away. We can be. But he wants us to develop and to progress and to keep going. To get to that place where our level of expectation, because of what we have been through, we're not being arrogant. But he wants us in that place of expectation that when we lay hands on somebody, that they get healed. Amen. When we touch them, something happens. Amen. That their world, yeah, I'm going to say it, will explode.
Yes, amen.
That we can see God come in. Yes. The God element, yes. Which is going to change lives forever. Yes. God is communing with us, spirit to spirit. Are we open? Have we got our spirit said, Lord, I open myself up to you. I open my spirit up to you. Come, Holy Spirit, touch me, teach me, direct me, guide me, lead me. Whatever adjective you want to put on. Just free reign, God. Free reign. No limits. That's one of the things that I've got the list covered up because I want that. No limits. That's what was said to God. No limits. We're not restricting him by size, numbers, anything like that. No limits. Come on, God.
Come on.
1 Corinthians 2:15 in the Amplified says, but the spiritually mature judges all things. And it says that's questions, examines, and applies what Holy Spirit reveals. Now, that isn't judging. That isn't criticizing. That isn't discarding. This is question. What are you saying, Lord? In what context are we talking? When does this apply? Because, you know, there's timings in the things of God. That's why we say, if you've got a word, bring it forward. Sometimes it's now, straight away. Other times, hang on, 10 minutes. Other times, next week. So we've got to recognize that there is timings in what God is telling us to do. We're on the cusp. We're pushing through. We're in the birth canal. We're nearly there. We've got to keep pushing. And then what did that word tell us? Once we go over the top, all we've got to do is hold on. Because it's going to gain momentum and momentum and momentum. Get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And bigger. We're not stopping at those few biggers. Yes. What are you saying, Lord? That's what we're doing. We're not criticizing. We're actually to get a fuller view of what God is doing. So we can then move forward. Does it sit right in your spirit? Yeah, it's got to. You know, there are times we can do, is it line? Does it line up with Scripture? Yes. But even then, does it sit right in my spirit? That's when we are communing spirit to spirit. Because there are times we can say, that looks right, but there's just something that I'm not quite sure. So we'll wait, and then God will reveal what that something is. And he can remove it or change direction and move forward. We can change direction, not him. God knows where he's going all the time. If it's right, if we feel that, if it's lined up, if we've got, get on and do it. Act. Bill Johnson said, faith is not the absence of doubt. It's the presence of belief. Faith is not the absence of doubt, it's the presence of belief. You may not always feel you have great faith, but you can always obey and do what God says. Don't ponder or think about it, obey quickly. Why do we do that? Because once we start analyzing, doubt comes. There's a saying, trust your first thought, because that's Holy Spirit. Once we put the second thought in, that's our human mind coming into play. We start analyzing, and that's when we think, I don't know whether I can do that. Oh, am I qualified to do that? Well, if God's told you, the answer is yes. When God opens our eyes and ears and reveals something, we have a choice. Do we ignore or do we respond? Do we act? God showed us a few weeks ago the picture of the Golden River, the waterfall, coming down. I'm in the waterfall. Yes. The waterfall coming down, running down the center and out. We jumped in the river, we had a fire tunnel, and we did all sorts that morning. That was amazing. But we didn't forget the Golden River. We found out it's an electricity box up in the village. Sorry, John, what is it?
Traffic counting,
beg your pardon. It's something to do with that anyway. It's got power in it, yes. But which power? And Jill noticed that she was the first one to spot it. Dharm, written across it, which is Buddhism or Hindu, and it's not very good. It means violence. Part of it's one of the things is violence. But cut a long story short, the only thing that's written on that box is www.goldenriver. So we've got Golden River right by the school. We've got Golden River here. So we thought, right, it's going out. We're going to link it up. So on Friday, the Watchman Group went out and we linked up. And we more than linked up. We went further than that point. We went right down the village, round the roundabout, had a coffee stop shop, coffee shop, and carried on back and came back in here. Now, what a stupid thing to do. 4.5 miles walking, carrying a thing of our imagination. No, it's not stupid. We believed God was telling us to do, to take the river out into the community. And that's what we did and are doing. And we took it there. And I came back from that in the afternoon. I went in Men in Sheds to shut up, and Mitch was in there. And he's one of our brothers from Pocklington Christian Fellowship. And he said, "But there was a lot of people around this morning, Robert, weren't there?" I said, "Yeah, it was a watchman group." And I told him what we'd been doing, just testing the water. He says, "Oh, yeah." He says, "When I was down at Aldershot," he says, we got rid of a witch's coven by praying against them." Yes! So he's on the same wavelength. You know, so, yes, come on, Lord. Let's spread it. Yeah, God wants the kingdom taken all over, advanced. We're speaking for revival across the East Riding and beyond. Let's never forget that, and beyond. There's a long way beyond the East Riding, but we're starting where God's put us. Yeah, anyway, that's digressing. Yeah. 4.5 miles walking. It was a lovely morning. But, you know, again, after the weeks with the weather we've had, we had a gorgeous morning. But we should expect that, because a month ago, we booked it. We prayed it into being a month ago that it would be a fine morning for us, to bless us. Because even if it had been raining, we'd have been out in the rain. We'd have been a bit soggy when we got home, but never mind, we'd have done it. Yeah, but God blessed us because we're on kingdom activity. Yeah. Foolish to the world, but with God, there will be a response. There is a response. Things change. Things happen as we move on with there. Yeah. In my experience, if we do what God says, He will give us more. If we don't, He won't. So if you're at a place where you're stuck and you're not moving on, think, what's the last thing God told me to do? And then, have I done it? If you do it, He'll move you to the next place. He'll keep you moving. Came back, and we had a worship time in here to start with, before a debrief of what we'd seen. And Pam is going to tell you what one of the things that she saw.
Well, as we began to worship, I began to feel the pressure of a whirlwind. Not that I've ever been in a very powerful whirlwind, but I've been in some pretty anointed places, put it like that. And it got more and more powerful that I began to sway. And I said, "God, it's because I'm standing in Robert's place, you know, where he normally sits over there. You know, you might get a shock one day, you might be on this side." But I just began to feel this anointing, and the wind was getting with more and more pressure. And then I knew that it was from the north, the south, and the east. It wasn't just a local wind. It was gathering momentum. And it just kept coming and coming and coming. Until then, I saw a tornado. Now, please hear my heart. I'm not decreeing that a tornado is going to come and land. But I could see it far off, and it was, you know, it was absolutely huge. And His glory was just spinning down and down and down. And you know what? I think we're beginning to feel some of that wind today. There's a difference in this house. And as an outsider, let me tell you, I can feel a difference in this house today. It's like you've crossed over. The ground has been broken up. I can see, even when I'm saying that, I can see like pieces of wood, you know how it just breaks up like an earthquake, it destroys. But some of the dross and some of the things that have held us in bondage and that we haven't been able to get free from, today is your day. Amen. Don't go out of here the same because amen. God has changed you.
Yes,
that's a little bit more.
Yeah, when we came back in after being out, I had the, as we started to worship, I had the sense of this wonderful river of glory that we spoke about being taken out. It was like we'd come back in with it. And I saw this whole sense of this glory starting to, not in the same dynamic way Pam saw Whirlwind, it was this like just being taken back up to heaven. But it didn't just stop there. It was like almost like the sense of the Lord drawing it in and going, this is wonderful. But then it didn't stop there, and I had the sense of him pouring the glory back down. And then it was going back up again. But what I saw were the colours. And the vibrancy of the glory was like something you can't describe. It was absolutely overwhelmingly amazing. And that was this up and down. And I believe that flow has started and will intensify.
I just forgot one bit, because as I looked down, when you've seen a tornado, then normally you see brokenness on the ground, things smashed up and debris everywhere. But all I saw was this pure, pure, pure whiteness on the ground.
Yes. Yeah. So powerful. It shifts the rubbish.
Yes.
And then we had it a while ago, and we're coming into it more and more, where the angels are descending and ascending. They're coming down on a mission, doing a job, going back. That's what we had a number of years. And that's in progress. There's the ladder. We've got a waterfall, but we've got a staircase as well. Yeah, we're greedy. Let's have a few things, shall we? Yes. And notice it's not just a single ladder, because the angels are going up and coming down. So they should be able to pass each other. So we've got a wide entrance. We've got an open door. So let's keep hold of that. Let's keep moving on. Where are we? Yeah. Come on, come on, come on. Well, I did have the words written down just in case they'd forgotten. Oops. No, that's good. I mean, I just got a simple thing. The input determines the output.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's something for us. It's so simple, but it's very profound. What we put in determines what comes out. What or who are we filling up with? Holy Spirit, the things of God, or the things of the world? Are we prepared to step out in faith? We don't see the outcome yet. We don't see the end result. Sometimes when God tells us to do something, we see nothing. We have a word. We have an impression. We have a thought. Do I act on that or not? Choice is yours. We've got to work on it. The Passion Bible says, faith then is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the Anointed One. When we're talking about Jesus, when we're hearing the things of God, when that's spoken out, when we receive it, I don't just mean hear it, receive it, faith is birthed and grows. So let's hear, let's listen to, and take on board the word of the Lord. Just to remind ourselves, what's the first statement in the Bible that Jesus, when he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit, what was the first statement? Brownie point. No, it's not a brownie point, angel point. We're not having brownies. Yeah. Yes, okay. You can't hear. Oh, sorry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm surprised. I've said it a few weeks, several weeks now. Yes, Chris has said, yes, of course, yes. So, but one person's listening, isn't that great? Yes. Yeah, I'll give you the tenor after. Yeah. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven, it's real. Jesus wants us to experience it. More and more of his kingdom. It's important to him. So it should be important to us, shouldn't it? He wants us to be kingdom builders. World changers, different makers. And so it goes on with there. That's what he wants us to be. And I'm going to declare that is what we are. It's not past tense, it's present. That is what we are. Kingdom advancers, kingdom makers. But Jesus also said, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness. We are made righteous, let's remember, through Jesus' righteousness, through what he has done for us. You know, and so we get the right, you go through the righteousness, but he wants us to seek first the kingdom. We've got to get things in order. We can say, well, is it really that important that we seek the kingdom? Well, if Jesus says so, I think that is a definite, a resounding yes. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, what did he give them? He taught them how to pray. He said, this is the way you pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Yes. Jesus saying, that's the way to do it. That's the way to pray. And we've dealt with this quite a lot, but I'm just going to briefly go through it. First priority, when Jesus says how to pray, the first priority is to praise God. Treat him with the highest respect. Reverence. The Passion says, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. I like that ring. The glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. And when I read that, and I was thinking about the potter's wheel, the lump of clay is chucked on there, and it goes round, and God shapes, he's the potter, he shapes it and makes it whatever shape we want. You know, I thought about the wood turning as well. You put a lump of wood on the lathe and then it revolves. You get the, what's the word I'm looking for? The fact that it's the perfect shape all the time, centricity or whatever it is. That's not the word I'm looking for, but you get what I'm saying. God moves, makes and molds, shapes, fashions into what he wants. You know, so we are to revolve around him, not the other way around. The second priority, your kingdom come. That second priority in the prayer that Jesus gave us to pray. The prayer is 66 words long. That's all. The kingdom features 27 of the 66 words. That's how important the kingdom is. God, the first address to God, our Father, is 8 words. Then you've got 27 in the next and the end in verses about the kingdom. And then you've got 31 in between where Jesus says, right, now you address your needs. Get the priorities right. God first, kingdom next, you're next. But then come back. Don't stick on yourself. Come back to kingdom. God says, address your needs. He's saying you are not the priority. God is the priority. The kingdom is the priority. The unseen kingdom needs to be focused on. The unseen kingdom needs to be revealed. The unseen kingdom needs to be established in moving forward. Any pattern of praying that doesn't make the kingdom a priority is not Christian praying. That might shock, but it's not. If we're not focused on God and on his kingdom, it ain't Christian praying. One of the sad, I'm just quoting here from Selwyn Hughes, so it's a while ago it was written, obviously. One of the sad things about church history is that the church has never really been gripped by the vision of the kingdom of God. There are notable exceptions, of course, but by and large, the church has missed its way in this matter. One theologian points out that when the church drew up its creed, the apostles, the Athanasian and the Nicene, it mentioned the kingdom once in all three of them. And these are creeds that are said regularly, almost daily, by the church. And only one of the three mentions the kingdom, but that is marginally. The church will never move into the dimension God has planned for it until it puts the kingdom where Jesus put it in this prayer. The church of Jesus Christ will not reach its potential until we start focusing on the kingdom of God. A place of primary consideration and primary allegiance. One of the most important things. The kingdom is not marginal. It's a priority. I'm just reading a bit out of Alan Hoare's book on Ephesians. So here's another important truth to get hold of. The Father sent the Son and the Holy Spirit into this world, not so much to enter into our world, but to find us and to bring us into his world. It's not so much about you and me inviting Jesus and the Holy Spirit into our life. It's much more about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit inviting and drawing us into their lives. It's not that they just want to fill our world, little as it is. They invite and call us to enter their astonishing, vast, and eternal world. What did Jesus say? You didn't call me or choose me. I chose you. It's saying there, Father God and Jesus are drawing us. They're calling us into kingdom. That's where they want us. I know Jesus said, I'll build my church, but the church is part of the kingdom. He wants us in the kingdom. And that's all the churches working together. And you know, that can get pretty hard because some of them don't want to work together. And we've all got our own ideas how we should do church. We've all got different styles and different ways. But as I said at one meeting, don't matter about all these other things. Do we believe in Jesus? And is he the center? And if he is, get rid of all these other this other theology that's blocking us from saying, this is right, that's right. Because each denomination, it's got its own theology. And you know what? I'm digressing. Each of these, if you look at the denominations, they were set up at a different time. And God's got us on a journey here. And he reveals something, lets us get to grips with it. Then he reveals something else. And that's where you've got the different denominations have got different aspects that they major on. You can say the right, but the right corporate, not individually. And we need to be moving on together and recognizing. You see, if we get stuck in one level, we can't move to the next level of what God's got for us. And they say the people that stop the next move of the Holy Spirit are the people who embrace the last move. Well, that's been one of my prayers for I don't know how many years. I do not want to get stuck with the last move because I want to be up and running with the next move. Amen. Yes, God is calling us. He's inviting us to enter into his kingdom. Now, we've had, over the last few months, there's been so much about sound. The sound. Margaret, would you come forward? About sound. And with God's sending out a sound. It's today's sound. It's a now sound. It's a Sierra sound. Margaret, I just wanted you to share what you had about yesterday on the street in Driffield.
Yes, as most of you know that I have in a ministry called Only Jesus Can Make You Whole. And I'm on the street on Saturdays. And there was just three of us yesterday. Jenny wasn't very well. And when Jonathan had left and we prayed for somebody and we were by ourselves and the town went quite quiet. It seems to fluctuate different times. And I heard this sound. And actually, I didn't bring this yesterday, but I was reflecting on it this morning and last night when I got to bed. And I looked up, and it was northeast, funny enough. And I looked up because it was a sound I'd never heard before. Wasn't an alarm, bells, and we were at three junctions, and we get all sorts of noise, and we get a lot of wind. But yesterday, it was a breeze. There was no wind. And this sound was amazing. I can't describe it, but it wasn't earthly. It wasn't human. And it wasn't any devices or alarms. And it went on for about 2 minutes, the first one. And I kept looking, and immediately I looked up, funny enough. And I looked up, and then it stopped. And then it started again. And I went to Steve, and I said, I think the third time it happened, I said, can you hear that noise? And he listened, and he went, yes. And we discussed it a little. And as we were looking, there's a roof. We have lots of pigeons there. And there was a roof. And I was, as I say, reflecting this morning. There must have been about 80 to 100 pigeons, which is not unusual. And not one of them moved. And Steve noticed that. I didn't. But this is what Holy Spirit does. When he brings something, there's something where you go, whoa. But it wasn't a whoa until I reflected on it. And I know it was a sound because God's brought many people to bring, have you heard the sound? Listen, because he's going to send a sound. This morning in my devotion, 4:20, and I take communion every morning, he said to me, because he didn't say a word, but he brought it into my spirit, and he said, it has started.
We'll receive that. It's started, yes. It's underway, yes. Yes. So the sound. How many times when we've been singing the songs there, can you hear the sound, the different things? How we've actually said, God, open our ears. Yeah. We need to be, yeah, God, that's my cry, that you open the ears to hear the sound of heaven. Yes. God is sending the new sounds to get our attention. Hear the call of God to come into his world. That's what he's saying to us. We're crying out, your kingdom come. Can we recognize the kingdom? What's it going to look like? You know, we've got to be asking God, can we recognize it? Help us to recognize it. You could say, well, why would God come here? You're a small church. And I got my hands slapped about that at one point. for sin. We had a small church, and that we came back. Don't you dare say that. You are a growing church. So we've got a growing church in a hut in the middle of a field. Why should God come here? Why not? I'll tell you why. We're hungry, we're thirsty, and we're asking him for revival. Yeah. Well, he responded to one postman in Scotland crying out. He responded to two old ladies, and I'm not knocking old ladies. You're wonderful.
Thank you.
Yes. On another island, Jesus said, when two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst. Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come. God wants his kingdom revealed, up and operational. He's telling us, I've hidden things not from you, but for you. So let's be like kids, shall we? I mean, sometimes we actually arrange a treasure hunt for our grandchildren and go around the field and we put things down and they've got to go out and, oh, it's great excitement when it's time for a treasure hunt. Well, we've got a treasure hunt. That's the mysteries of God to be found for us to look at, and they're hidden for us. And you know, when we hide things for the kids, it's normally something they really like a Cadbury's cream egg, you know, or a little toy or something, you know. And they come back, whoa, look what we've got. Unfortunately, the older one normally gets more than any of the others. So we've got to have a reserve set in the house so they all get the same. Anyway, yeah, never mind that. God wants to bless us. He wants us to reveal the hidden. He wants to reveal the hidden things. I'm running over time, but I hope you'll bide with me. Yeah. In Luke 8:17, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. Whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Come on. God's saying, come on, listen. Because what you've got, I'm going to add to it. I'm going to give you more. Don't sit back and say, well, I can't hear. It's God. If I can say it, well, can't I say, Lord, I want to. Come on, open my ears, Lord. God wants us to understand. He wants to show us. Jeremiah 33:3. Anybody knows that? God's telephone number. That's right. Call on me and I will answer you. But then it goes on. And I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So as we call out to God, God's saying, come on, I'm going to answer and I'm going to show you. So you've got to keep our eyes open as well. Yeah. Could go off on a sidetrack, but I won't on that. How does God do it? We don't know. God does everything. He's amazing. He's fantastic. How does he do it? He's all powerful, that's why. So why do we question him? Why do we say, how God can't do that? Yes, he can. As I said last week, one of the only things he can't do is tell lies. And he tells us in his word that this is going to happen. These different things are going to happen. He can and he does. He's willing and he is able. Do we need a gathering of 55,000 like we looked at the other week? Nope. Do we need a gathering of several hundred before he'll dispatch revival? No. Power is not in the number of people in attendance, it's the number of people in agreement. Don't matter how many there are, it's agreement. Are we in agreement that God is going to send revival? Do we believe that he's sending revival? Do we believe that God is changing? Do we believe we've taken another step forward along this road to what God wants to fulfill in this place? Yes. God's on the move. He's calling us into his kingdom. Are we going to go with him? Are we going to go into the kingdom with him? The lion's bite on the 24th of January. Focus ahead. You move in the direction of your focus. When you focus on the past, you move away from the goal. But when you focus on what's ahead, you see the prize and it draws you forward. Beloved, it's time to take ground. Are you willing to let go of the past and turn around? If so, you'll see the heavenly prize I've set before you. Are you ready to take my hand and run towards it? I like this next bit. Together, we are unstoppable. Yes, let's get hold of that. Together with God, we are unstoppable. Stay laser focused on what's ahead. Fight the temptation to look back, no matter how hard it gets. Press on resolutely. Before long, you will reach your victory lap and see the sweet face of Jesus. Changing the metaphor, this train's on track. We're moving forward. We said a few weeks ago, it was sensed that the train had started moving. If you remember last year, it was the opportunity, we were still in the station, on the platform, giving people the opportunity to get on board, and we're urging people to get on board. Well, we sensed a few weeks later, the train started moving out and moving forward. We're advancing the kingdom. Are we prepared to work together with God for God's glory? The revival rain prayer that we've done so many times, and no doubt we will continue to do it till God's got us sorted. Lord, I bow my heart and bend my knee. Send revival and start with me. Pour out your spirit in an unprecedented way. May all who hear be saved today. May all who are saved proclaim the way. Lord, send revival and start with me. Yes. Remember the wind turbines that Ron so well described and told us about? One of those blades has got a bit of weight on that it shouldn't have. Got an obstruction or a hindrance that it shouldn't have. It knocks the other two out so that the turbine is not as efficient as it should be. It's not creating the power that it should be. That's the same for ourselves. If we've got one little bit out, it stops us producing the power that God wants us to produce. So it's a case, get rid of. Let's get balanced, because that's what it's about, the balance. Individually, get balanced. Corporately, get balanced. Moving on together in harmony so God can provide or produce the maximum that he wants to do here. There's a declaration, please, that I've put for us to finish off with. Father, I declare that I will not be one to focus on the past. Instead, I will focus on the future and move forward with you, God. I will not let distraction, obstacles, or stumbles stop me. No matter how hard it gets, I will fix my eyes and tune my ears on Jesus, allowing him to motivate me all my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, Father, we're calling on you and asking that you will reveal more of your kingdom to us. Let us have eyes to see and ears to hear, hearts willing to respond to your call. Open any blocked ears. We speak that now. Open any blocked ears in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's hear some popping of ears now. Yes. The sound coming from heaven. The ears being opened to hear. The eyes being unblocked, are opened to see. We want our receptors finely tuned into you, Father. We want to be responsive to you. We are your people. We want to do your will. Thank you, Lord. Amen.